Hello, Saints. So today I want to do a study on sacrifice. And this will be part one of a series of studies on sacrifice. And this time it'll be talking about the flesh. And I'll start in Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So what does a man desire if he puts his Creator out of mind? What does a man love if he loves not the truth, which is the Lord? Shall a man's heart direct his way into that which is good? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Romans 7, 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. The natural desires of man's nature are at enmity with God, and are not subject to the law of God, but must be brought under subjection, as a man will be judged according to his works. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And that word enmity means ekthra in the Greek. It means hostility, by implication a reason for opposition, enmity, hatred. And the same word is used in James 4:4, Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And that word enemy is actually just a masculine form of enmity in the Greek. Therefore, we shall be judged as enemies of God for our fondness of the world. How much more shall we be thought worthy of punishment for the fondness of our flesh, which also is an enemy of God? Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Shall a man esteem his flesh in any particular reverence, heeding to the thoughts and intents of its beastly and unruly nature, as though they be of some benefit to us? This surely is the thought of the world, which trains up the youth to believe they're just evolved monkeys, with no purpose in life. Luke 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. One may say, I cannot help myself, for these thoughts are who I am. But consider this, when that foolish objection arises, one must deny himself and pick up his stake to walk in the Spirit of God. If one denies not himself, then the enemy of which we have crucified, if we indeed are Christ, shall reign in our body, and we willingly return to the service of sin. Luke 9:23-24, and he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Romans 6:16, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Hebrews 10:26-27, For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. So laying down the carnal mind then, let us put on the mind of Christ, and the helm of salvation. Instead of taking note of these thoughts brought up by the flesh, let us take them captive, and bring to memory the sanctifying word which is able to save our souls. 1 Corinthians 2:14-16. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? but we have the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. James 1:21-22, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So walking in the Spirit requires this death of our own flesh, the sacrifice of our own body, and the subsequent loss of our own earthly life, to inherit eternal life to come. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Mark 10:29-30, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So in conclusion, 1 Peter 4:1-2, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God.